Welcome again to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and again, we're going to begin testing your Bible knowledge with a Bible question. Now, we have come to the end of the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 27, verses 23 through 30, we're going to read that in just a moment. Don't turn there yet, because I want you to answer this question. Answer it in your mind. Paul quotes from one of the prophets of the Old Testament at the end of the book of Acts. What was the name of that prophet? The prophet Paul quoted at the end of the book of Acts. What was his name? You'll be familiar with this, and some of you might already know the answer to that question. And if you do, you can give yourself a star for being an excellent Bible student. In fact, you want to know the Bible, tune into this program and become part of this radio Bible school, and the things you learn will be a blessing to you, I am sure, because we're studying a book that came to us by way of the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Now, before I get into the answer, I want to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the answer to the question? The prophet that Paul quoted at the end of the book of Acts, the name of that prophet was Isaiah. Let me read it to you from the text. Acts 28, verses 23 to the end of the book. And let's see, that will be verse 31. Here we go. Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 23. He's talking about Paul had called the Jews to him, and he's going to teach them. And it says, "And when they had appointed him a day, they came unto him, his lodging in great number, to whom he expounded the matter, testifying the kingdom of God and persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit through Isaiah the prophet unto your father, saying, Go thou unto this people and say, By hearing ye shall hear, and in shall in no wise understand, and seeing ye shall see, and in no wise perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. But be it known therefore unto you, that this salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. They will also hear. And he abode 2 whole years in his own hired dwelling, and received all that went in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, none forbidding him." Now, we're going to study that text in a Sunday school lesson that was written by E. A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December the 13th, 1925. And the golden text that Elam selected for this lesson is from the book of Romans, where it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The devotional reading is also from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12 verses 1 through 8. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. And having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of our faith. Our ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry. Or he that teacheth, to his teachings. Or he that exhorteth, to exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now let's get into the Sunday school lesson itself. We looked at Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, or at least we read that in a previous program, about how Paul journeyed from that island where they had shipwrecked Melita to Rome. Acts 28, 1 through 10 states what occurred during Paul's three-month stay on the island Melita. The inhabitants were exceedingly kind to all, especially so was Publius the elder. Paul there was the same good and true and great man that he was everywhere. We read in verses 11 through 15 that when the winter season was over and dangers of sailing had passed, Paul and all who were with him who were shipwrecked on Melita resumed their voyage in another ship, a ship of Alexandria, caught in the same storm which wrecked the one that bore Paul, and this ship prudently wintered in the island. It too was probably loaded with wheat for Italy. The sign was the twin brothers. They were Castor and Pollux, mythical gods supposed to be the sons of their god Jupiter, and the guardians of the sailors. For a ship to bear this name or the image of these fabled gods was considered a good omen. Leaving Melita, the ship went north about 80 miles and touched at Syracuse on the island of Sicily, where it remained 3 days. It touched here probably to attend to some business such as putting out freight. If not for this reason, then maybe because of unfavorable winds. Travel was slow in those days, and you were subject to the weather and when you could go and when you should stay. The ship encountered some difficulty in sailing from Syracuse to Regulum. Hence, they made a circuit and arrived at Regulum, remaining there 1 day. A favorable south wind sprang up, and in 24 hours, they were at Tulii, 180 miles from Regulum. Here they landed. This was the principal port, south of Rome. Paul and the saints with him found brethren here. These, like the ones at Rome, had probably learned the gospel from those who returned to Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 10. However, we cannot be certain of this. These brethren entreated Paul with those with him to remain 7 days, which would include the Lord's Day, when Paul could meet with them to eat the Lord's Supper. It was kindness in the centurion to allow Paul to remain so long. The journey from Putulii was over a paved road, which was a branch of the famous Appian Way that led from Rome to Brundusium, the modern Brindisi. The ship is now traversed by a railroad, or it's now traversed by a railroad. The main road was reached at Kalpa, 33 miles from Petuliae, which is the route that lay along this road to Rome, the whole distance by land being about 150 miles. For a description of the Appian Way, you might see some encyclopedia or Google that on the internet. There's even pictures of some of the pavement that is left there on the Appian Way along that old Roman road. And some have had the fortunate experience of being able to travel there and to walk on some of those stones, knowing they may well be stepping on some of the same stones upon which the Apostle Paul had walked. When the brethren at Rome heard that Paul had landed and was on his way to that city, they went out to meet him. There were two companies, one meeting him at a town called the Market of Appius, or Appii Forum, 43 miles from Rome, the others meeting him at a village called the Three Taverns, 12 miles nearer the city, whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took great courage. In these companies were numerous old friends who Paul knew in other countries, and whom he salutes in the last chapter of his Roman letter. Well, Brother David Lipscomb suggested that they had preceded Paul to Rome to make a united attack upon that city with the gospel. Paul's heart beat gladly, and he was filled with gratitude to God to see them again and to meet with other saints. We can easily imagine that he related to them his trials before the Jews and the Roman rulers in Judea and the thrilling events of his voyage. Now we're going to look at the explanatory notes for our text. Acts chapter 28, verses 16 and 17 says, "And when we entered into Rome, Paul was suffered to abide by himself with a soldier that guarded him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, he called together those who were chief of the Jews. And when they were come together, he said unto them, I, brethren, though I had done nothing against the people, or the customs of our fathers, yet was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." Here are Elam's notes. As a matter of course, Paul, a prisoner, was delivered by Julius and his soldiers to the proper authorities. But Festus had sent no charge of any crime against him. The chief of the Jews there had learned of no harm or received any information from Judea concerning him, and he had gained the confidence and won the favor of the centurion soldiers during the long and perilous journey, who no doubt spoke of him most favorably to the authorities. Hence he was allowed the greatest liberty, and was suffered to abide by himself with the soldier that guarded him. At Jerusalem he was first bound with two chains between two soldiers, Acts 21:33. On the voyage, it would seem, from the circumstances mentioned, that he was released from chains altogether. And now at Rome, he is bound with only one chain, Acts 28 and verse 20, and permitted to abide in his own hired dwelling, verse 30, instead of the prison. The soldier, as we see in this remark, "I am bound with this chain," was chained to him day and night. The guard was charged according to universal custom. Every 3 hours it was changed, every 3 hours, unless an exception was made to the sleeping hours in this particular case. And after 3 days, just as soon as it was settled what would be done with Paul, he called together those that were chief of the Jews or their rulers. It would seem that his bitter experience with the Jews would have warned him to beware of them, but true to the gospel order, that the Jews were the first to be preached to, and with an unflagging zeal in preaching Jesus the Christ, Paul did this. We're going to continue this study in our next class.